Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, in whom ye also trusted. And if you back up from there, he's simply talking about Christ. He's talking about Jesus. So when you trusted in Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth. What is that? It's the gospel, the good news of your salvation. In whom, again, talking about Jesus Christ, also after that ye believed, so when you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit that we talked about, that Rev talked about this morning, that one, that Holy Spirit of promise. And what does he do? He is the earnest of our inheritance. He is the down payment, my goodness, of our inheritance. Until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, my goodness, unto the praise of his glory. So God gets the glory. So let me start with a question here. Let me start with a question for everyone. How many people understand the love of God? How many people understand the love of God? Okay, let me say, how many people completely comprehend the depths of God's love? Who does it? Come on, somebody. Somebody completely, okay, somebody picked up on it. I'm sorry, y'all, but that was a trick question because there is no possible way that our minds here on earth can comprehend God's love. It is simply impossible. I can't figure out how he knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. I can't figure it out. I just don't understand how he could value so much that he even took the time to number each and every hair on my head, to each and every hair in the drain. I don't understand how he does that, but the list goes on and on and on how God loves us. I simply don't get it. But every now and again, saints of God, those of us who have been saved, we just get a glimpse. We get a taste, Reverend Dixon. We get just a small peek behind the curtain. And with just that one peek, our finite, infinitely small minds are blown with just that. Has that happened to anyone else in here? Has anybody just seen one little glimmer of God's love and it just blew your mind? No matter what it was, it could have been big, it like the birth of a child. It could have been small, like him saving you from crossing the street. Whatever it was, when it happens, it blows your mind. When God tells you, when he shows you that he loves you, you've got all this praise in you that you just about need that glorified body right now. Because this body, this corruptible body, can never express the praise that's welling up on the inside. That's how deep God's love is, that just at a mere glimpse of his love, we want to explode. And this, saints, happened to me just a few weeks ago. See, I was at work, and I thought I was just minding my business. I was just trying to get through the workday, but that's all I was doing, was just trying to get through the day. I just wanted to get through and get home so I could eat, so I could see my son, so I could go to sleep, so I could go back to work, so I could get home, so I could eat. Just, they call that the rat race. So I was just like a hamster on a wheel. I was just feeling off. I was unengaged. And I was uninspired. I was just going along to get along. Has anyone ever felt like that in your life? You just feel like you're just stuck in a rut. You can't. Is anybody feeling like that right now? That you're just a something, you're just a hump that you can't get over. But not only that, saints. See, like you, I was doing the reading challenge, and like you, I had been in the Word, and just like you, I had been in prayer and all these things, and yet I was doing everything I was supposed to do, but there was just no special revelation coming. Just nothing was coming. I thought I was doing right, but just nothing would stick. There was just nothing that I would consider special. So that's where I was, but it was at that moment, at my desk on the 9th floor in State House Square in Hartford, Connecticut, that the Holy Ghost, all the way from heaven, tapped me on the shoulder. He tapped me on the shoulder and he spoke this word to me. And not only did he speak it to me, but he spoke it over my life. And now I want to say it to you. See, I've read this 101 times. And it was so clear to me this time that I read it on that 102nd time. See, all God was saying here was, I love you. That's all he was saying. I was searching high and low, looking for something profound, and God just wanted to say, I love you. Oh, my goodness. And what Paul says here is that God is telling you that I love you so much that I wrote my name on you. My God. And when I write my name on something, sometimes I put it in the fridge because I intend to go back and get that thing. God loved me so much that he wrote his name on me. He told me that I love you so much, Sean, that I invested in you. I put a down payment on your very life, a down payment on your everlasting soul. So how does he do that? Paul tells us that for all of us, not just me, not just Sean, but for all of us who believe, that all of this is accomplished. All of this was manifested by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Can you fathom, hold on, Deja, 1 second. Can you fathom how much, I'm getting there, I'm sorry. Can you fathom how much he values us? He values us so much that he gave us himself. He broke off a piece of himself and yet stayed whole and gave the Holy Ghost to us. And that's just a down payment. That's just part of it. That's not even all the principle for my homeowners out there. But just in case, I didn't get it. The Holy Spirit confirmed it like he always did. And I messed around and I came to Bible study that night. And Minister shared, reminded us that night that we have great value to God. Same day. Woo! I was worth so much to him that he put his hands on me. Oh, my goodness. And he formed me in creation. And she reminded us of Psalm 139, where the psalmist tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves me. So when you put this all together, he made me after his own image. Yeah, he did that. And it was very good, he said. And then fast forward way into time. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, read it all when you get home, that he chose me to be adopted into his family. That he chose me to be accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ. Even though I went astray, he still sent Jesus to die for me. That I may be redeemed. That I may be forgiven. That I may obtain an inheritance of eternal life. But not only that, in the meantime, while I'm on my way to my eternal life, God loved me so much that he wouldn't leave me comfortless. And so what he did was he sealed me with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that seal simply means that until Jesus comes back to get me, I am protected. I am secured. I have a rightful owner, and that's none other than the God of Jacob. Okay. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you, Lord. I have been branded. He put his name on me. I've been branded by God, and now I belong to him. See, the devil thought he had me. I'm not going there with Ty, but now I belong to God. The world thought that they had me, but now I belong to God. Travelers Insurance thought they had me, but now I belong to God, and I'm so glad about it. Anybody in here belong to God? Anybody in here belong to God? Well, if you're excited that you belong to God, somebody shout out to God. Say, I am yours. I am yours. Oh, I'm yours, God. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours, God. So that simple, yet that profound statement, here we go, Deja, is our title for today. Simply, I am yours. And Rev, I got a hashtag for you. Hashtag branded. I am yours. I'm branded. Hallelujah. So this fact, I know it sounds simple, but it's actually so profound that multiple times, Paul, while writing from a Roman prison cell, tells the Ephesians, and he tells all the faithful in Christ Jesus. He tells every church that was on this circular letter, and he's telling us, the body of Christ today, that he was praying, and he prays for our eyes of understanding to be opened. Open to the love that we have received from God. Open to the hope of God's calling. Did you hear me? I said he was in a Roman jail cell praying that I would understand the love of God. In jail, praying for me. In jail, praying for someone else. See, he should have been praying for his own situation to be better. He should have been praying that he could even get out. After all, he knew that God could get him out of prison with a simple midnight praise. He knew that God could do that. But instead of doing this, he prays for our wisdom. When you get home, read Ephesians chapter 3, and he says he wants us to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And why did he do that? He did it so that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants to do with you today. That's what God wants to do with his saints today, and that's fill us up. I need a recharge. I need a refilling. I need God to restore the joy of my salvation, because there's joy in knowing that I belong to him. There's peace when I know that I belong to him. I can walk in hope of my salvation and not in sorrow like those who walk around on this earth with no hope. But I can walk around with my head held high and my back straight. So my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, let the word of God today encourage you wherever you are, whatever you're going through, that you belong to God. Whatever you're feeling inside, God needs you to not feel but know that he is not done with you yet. You see, he put his down payment on you, so therefore you can be confident. Confident in what? Confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God praise if you belong to God. So I hear you. So how do we know that we belong to God? Well, we just read it. We know it from what we read in verse 13, that we are sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. And just in case you didn't get it, he said it again a couple chapters later, and he said that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. So what does that mean? One commentary says it this way, so maybe we can understand this. This means that every true believer receives the Spirit of God as a sign that he or she, so put your name there, belongs to God, and that he will be kept safe by God until the time he receives his glorified body. Just as in legal matters, a seal indicates ownership and security, so it does in divine affairs. The indwelling Spirit brands us as God's property and guarantees our preservation until the day of redemption. So I love it. I love that imagery, what it says that God brands us. And I love that imagery. I know it's simple. I know it may seem strange, but let's stay there for a second, because the fact is that God can reveal this great love for us, even in a simple imagery. I love it. That gets me excited. Just when I can have a moment where it clicks for me, where I can just see something simple, that is amazing to me. So let's hang out there. And let's talk about this branding process and the awesome truths that we can understand from it. So in case you're like me and you weren't raised on a farm, and in case you don't quite understand what branding is and you're not familiar, here's a quick definition. I did a little bit of research for this. It says, livestock branding is a technique for marking livestock so as to identify the owner. Originally, livestock branding only referred to hot branding livestock with a branding iron, though the term now includes alternative techniques. So they done got so far with this animal cruelty stuff that they tried to get away from hot branding and they tried to get into chemical branding, and that one didn't work. And so they tried, now they brand by freezing. I don't even know how they do that, but we're gonna talk about that hot branding, all right? Amen? I mean, we're gonna talk about the tried and true fire branding. So the first thing we need to know about this is that before we even get to the point of applying that branding iron that we can all picture in our minds, something else has to happen. First, the animal has to be restrained. Say it this way. The traditional cowboy captured and secured an animal for branding by roping it, laying it over on the ground, tying its legs together, and then applied the branding iron. Now, modern ranch practice has moved toward use of chutes where animals can be run into and into a confined area and safely secured while the brand is applied. So I see you looking at me. So what does this mean? Well, simply, God is saying that before we are sealed by God, before he can write his name on us, God has to rein us in. See, animals have to be reined in, and animals have to be restrained, and so do I. so do we. So before we can become one of his, God has to confine us. Before we can become one of his, God has to bring us in. God has to safely secure us. So how does he do that? How does he do that? Really simple. It's not deep here. It's simply through salvation. That's how God reigns us in. Salvation is the first step to this process. Unfortunately, The world has a major problem with this first step. They feel like it's too restrictive. They want multiple ways to heaven. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have all the promises of God, but they still want to have their sin too. Well, unfortunately, I'm not just talking about the world, but I'm also talking about the church. See, we want all the benefits of God, but we want to keep on with our ways, and God is trying to rein us in. We want all the benefits of God, but we're still trying to do things like the world. We're still trying to have prosperity ministry like the world. We're still trying to run a business in the church like the world, and God is trying to rein us in. So I'm sorry to tell you, actually, no, I'm glad to tell you that that's not the way that it's going to go. Jesus shed way too much blood for us so that we could just have it our way. That's not the way it's going to work. See, plain and simple, the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. The way of salvation is through his atoning blood. Paul tells us this clearly in verse 13, that it's not until we heard the word of truth. It's not until we believe the gospel of salvation that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God has to rein us in from our worldly ways. See, Paul was talking to Ephesus, and he's basically telling this pagan idol worship has got to stop. All this worshiping at the temple of Diana, it's got to stop. But he's not just talking about them. He's talking about our idol worship. So just because you don't have an idol that looks crazy of some false god in your home doesn't mean that you're not worshiping something other than God. See, your money and your job and, yes, your kids and your house and even your own self, even your own pride has got to take a back seat. It's got to go. None of that can save you. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. He is the door, the only door through which we must enter into salvation. Oh, I know in this ecumenical world that sounds rough, that sounds harsh, that even sounds offensive. But even though some of the saints, you just agreed with me, you just agreed with God, in fact, and you are nodding your head in agreement, but if we tell the truth, there was a point in time where that was too harsh for us. There was a point in time where, no, I didn't want to yield to God's way either. Some of us ran from God for a long time. See, God was out there still. Oh, my goodness. Oh, speaking here. See, God was and is trying to guide you in, but you kept running away. God ran and he got you and he tried to pick you up and carry you, but you're bucking like some crazy wild horse and he's just letting you go and you fall to the ground. Some of us are just running and running and running and running from God until finally God said, that's it. That's it. And he's got to lasso you and take you down to the ground. He's got to wrestle you down until you will yield, until you will come and say, I yield. What must I do to be saved? Some of us had to hit rock bottom, Bishop. Some of us just didn't know when enough was enough, so we kept running, and God had to break us. God had to take you down hard. So let me take an aside right here. And say that this is the reason that we have to start evangelizing our children early. Yes. This is the reason that we've got to start evangelizing our homes right now. See, we don't want them to run like some of us ran. See, even on the farm, animals are branded early. They're branded before they're even weaned, between 3 and 5 months. Why do they do that? Because it's at this time that the animal is easier to handle. The animal is easier to be tied up at this age. So what does the Bible say about it? The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Get him early. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Because I don't want Emmanuel to go through some of the stupid stuff that I went through. I don't want him to do some of the dumb things that I did before I fully yielded to the Lord. So my evangelism of that 2.5-year-old starts right now. And not only him, but I want better for all of our children. We want better for all of our young people in this house. So I'm believing that God, through our witness, that God, through our testimony, will be able to easily secure them in salvation. And I believe that he's going to do it early so that their walk and their ministry can begin now. Their ministry can begin before they get to high school. Their ministry can begin before they get to middle school. Their ministry can begin before they get into trouble. Their ministry can begin right now. Get them early. Start right now. But even though we ran, No matter how you came to God, no matter when you came to God, we ought to be grateful to God for salvation because of the fact that anybody here just, did they come to God? Even though you ran for a while, you finally came to yourself and you submitted unto God. We ought to thank him for salvation because truth be told, he could have let you run free. He could have left you to the lions and the wolves and they would have torn you to pieces. He could have left you to the thieves and the robbers and all they would have done was stolen from you. All they would have done was killed you. All they would have done was destroy your very life. But thanks be to God, he saved us and he brought us into his sheepfold. With his amazing grace, he brought us in to his sheepfold with his tender love. He brought you in to his sheepfold with his endless mercy. And because God has brought you in, now you can say, I am yours. Thank you, God. Because God reined us in, he had to do it. He had to do it, and I'm grateful for it. And so once he's done that, once he's brought us in, once we are saved, what else? Do we know? Where do we go from here? Well, now Paul here in verse 13 tells us, pick this up, as soon as we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. As soon as we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. The branding takes place immediately. You don't have to speak. There's no tongue talking that you have to do. There's no jumping over the pews that you have to do. You honestly don't even have to come down this aisle to be saved. You can be saved right now. As soon as you believe, as soon as you receive, God seals you in that moment. We are sealed by his Holy Ghost. We are branded by the Holy Ghost. So let's talk more about the branding. You see, this fire branding that we're talking about is a permanent yet painful branding method in which a red hot iron is applied directly to the animal's skin. The branding iron, which is fashioned into some sort of symbol or some sort of logo that is unique to the specific owner, is held to the skin of the livestock for up to 5 seconds. And while it's there, it's burning away the hair. It's burning into the skin and leaving that brand, leaving that permanent mark for identification purposes. So what am I saying? What am I saying is that make no mistake about it, this is not a painless process for the animal. And so therefore, you're already there. It is not a painless process for us either. As we are sealed by the Holy Ghost, his job is to start cleansing us from the inside out. His job is to purge us from our sinful ways. Just like the branding iron, he's got to burn some stuff off of us. You see, we received our salvation, and now it's time for regeneration. And that regeneration, that purification takes a little bit of heat. That regeneration, Rev, takes a little bit of fire. Oh, we were happy earlier. We were happy earlier about that Holy Ghost fire. And if we're being honest right now, well, this isn't the kind of fire that, Lord, I really signed up for. This isn't the kind of fire. It's that brand. That's not really what I wanted. See, I wanted that fire that was symbolic of God's presence. Yeah, I like that one. I like that pillar of fire for Israel in the wilderness that stood between them and Egypt. I like that one because that reminds me that God is with me. I want the Holy Ghost to show up like he did on the day of Pentecost with cloven tongues like a fire on that day. That's the kind of fire that I want that tells me God surely is here. Okay, I like that one, and I even like the kind of fire that represents God's passion. That's what we're talking about earlier. The kind of fire that's like Jeremiah, and it's shut up in his bone, and if he doesn't go ahead and speak it, if he doesn't go ahead and speak or hold, if he holds his peace, he's going to burn up. He's going to explode. I want that kind of fire. I want the kind of fire that gets me fired up when the word of truth is spoken here. And we leave this place saying, did not our hearts burn within us? I want that. And we just got to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. I'm good with that kind of fire. That's good. And sure, that stuff is true, saints. That stuff is all good. We really should stay near the warmth of the fire of God's presence. We should be filled with the fiery passion for God and the passion to proclaim his word. But there's one more kind of fire that I want to talk about, that I have to talk about, and that fire is the refining fire. Sometimes I just don't like that one. I just don't. I was good with the first two, but this one, Lord, I don't know, because that's the fire that causes me pain. And yet that pain is so necessary, because if we want to be one of His, if we want to be branded by God, we must be purified. We must mortify the deeds of this body if we want to live for God. If we want to live with God, we must be purified. And if you don't believe me, read all of Ephesians and go to chapter 4, where he tells the Ephesians that we, and he's telling us today, that we cannot walk as other Gentiles walk. We cannot walk as other mega churches walk, church. We can't walk as other churches with no Jesus walk, but we must put off the old man. We've got to put off of that sin, and we've got to put on the new man. This is the regeneration process. Oh, paraphrase, he says that we must put away lying, oh my goodness, and speak every man truth to his neighbor. We can be angry, but you got to be angry, but you cannot sin. So be angry and sin not. Let him that stole, oh my goodness, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good. Let no corrupt communication, watch the tongue, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We've got to put off the old man and put on the new man. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, we're going to have to change our ways. Yes, there are even some things, and there are even some people that we love dearly that simply won't be able to handle the heat. But if I tell you, I must tell you that this purification, this regeneration is the only way that you can tell God that I am yours. There's no ifs. There's no ands, there's no buts about it. There's no way around it. There is no immunity. We must be purified. You don't believe me? Ask the prophet Isaiah. Ask him. Even in the midst of one of the greatest scenes in the Bible, in the throne room of God, Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. He saw his train fill the entire temple. He's watching seraphims fly above the throne with six wings, one covering their face, one covering their feet, and with two, and then with two, they're flying. He saw all of this. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. The very foundations of the room shook, and the whole room was filled with smoke. And Isaiah, in this moment, recognized his impurity. As he witnessed this, he recognized his own need to be purged from sin. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Oh my goodness, that sounds like fire to me, which he had taken with the tongs. Even the angel couldn't handle this coal. And he touched my lips. And he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So last time I checked, I'm not as good as the prophet Isaiah. I didn't get to see this vision that he saw, and yet he still recognized his need to be purged. He still recognized that he was unclean. We can't play with this, saints. The Holy Ghost is not just something to play with. The Holy Ghost is not just something that makes you feel good one day a week. The Holy Ghost of God is not just something that comes when I give you 30 seconds to go ahead and praise Him. No, as a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost is not a thing at all. The Holy Ghost is God Himself. God the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you is a refining fire. So if you are in here today and you're just as sinful as you were when you said you got saved, if you're just as hateful in the church as you were when you were running in the streets, then I don't care how long you've been here, the Word of God says you don't belong to Him. That's it. That's it. That's the warning that God told me I had to say in Colossians. That's what He told me. But if you don't believe me, believe Jesus. Because He said, as for my livestock, what did He say? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what do they do? And they follow me. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I just saw Sister Naraya just quote that scripture. So, oh, you don't. Get them early, get them early, get them early. Follow me. His sheep follow him. They follow my word, Jesus is saying. They follow my commandments. They listen to what I tell them to do. They put off the old man and they put on the new man. They are renewed every day in the spirit of their minds. That's what we got to do. We have to be renewed. So it's in love, saints, that I've got to warn you today. Because quite frankly, that's the only way that we're going to make it. If we're going to see God, then we've got to be purified, because nothing impure can enter into God's glory. We must be tried by fire. We must be purged by the inner working of the Holy Ghost. We must be refined if we're going to come out and come forth like pure gold. Oh, my goodness. So yes, as the Holy Spirit moves through our lives, I hear you, and he's branding every part of our being, it's going to be tough. I know it's oftentimes going to be painful, and it won't always feel good, but saints, you can rest assured that it is good. Yeah, that fire is good for you, so go ahead and lean in, listen to God, go through the fire, take the branding. Why? Because for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. My God, oh, I'm feeling good. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Woo! That's powerful. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Also, I don't know if you heard me, but I just heard my loving, awesome heavenly father call me son. Sisters in here, you just heard your loving father call you a daughter of Zion. We are a part of his family. We have been grafted in. We are joint heirs with Jesus. So what does that mean? So now, because he loves you, my goodness, because you belong to him, because you have decided to endure the heat of his branding, the fire of his branding, then now you get all of the benefits of being a part of his family. And when I say benefits, trust me, these benefits transcend the natural. And they extend all the way into the heavenlies. Read it in Ephesians chapter 1. Yes. He can bless you financially. That's easy for him to do. Yes, he can heal your body. I know he'll do it. That's easy for him to do. But he wants to do all of that and then so much more. See, God, through his Holy Spirit, Hebrews tell us that he invites us to be a partaker in his holiness. Oh, my goodness. See, when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, that's not just a command, but it's an invitation. Woo! It's an invitation that says, come on here, child. If you let me put my name on you, then you can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. If you let me brand my name on you, I will make you better. If you will just receive me and go through the fire, I will make you more like me. That's what God's saying. God is saying, if you will just let me put my name on you, I will make you my very own. So I don't know about you, but I heard that invitation. I don't know about you, but I accepted the invitation. And ever since that day, he's been faithful to his promise. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because he took and branded this thorny, cold heart of stone, and he replaced it with a heart of flesh. Then that heart of flesh is able to give love and able to receive love. See, he branded this crazy mind, and when I was running to and fro in my mind, and I could barely sleep, and I had all kinds of wicked imaginations, and I could barely focus, he replaced that mind and gave me peace. See, he branded my unruly tongue that I used to use to curse and not bless. And now, instead of speaking harsh words, he replaced it with his gentleness so I could speak a kind word, so I could speak a word of love, and so that I could speak his word at all. See, he branded my very desires, the very desires of my being that were once lusting. He turned them up from lust. He turned them from out of control flesh into a vessel of temperance. Into a vessel of meekness, into a vessel of self-control and discipline. And I don't know how you did it, Lord, but I'm so glad you did. So all I can say is, thank you, Jesus. I am yours. Lord, I'm grateful that I am, Lord, yours. Lord, I am in awe of you, God, that you could take a sinner like me and make me yours. Lord, I'm overwhelmed that you would reach down and make me yours. See, right now I can hardly contain myself, and I'm feeling real good that he would make me his. But then I messed around and kept reading the story. And here you go, God, again. Once more, you are exceeding my expectations. And you did this when you told me, says in Ephesians chapter 2, that he will show me the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. In other words, saints, you ain't seen nothing yet. It just keeps on getting better and better and better. Why? Because I've been promised a new name over in glory. See, I've got a new shout over in glory. I've got a new home, not built with the hands of man. And it's over in glory. And it's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. The streets of gold are mine. The riches untold are mine. Eternal security for my weary soul is all mine. God, because I am yours, because I am yours, all of this is mine. Because I am yours, you have given all of this to me, and all of it is mine. And the sovereign God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, it is he who has decreed it. It is he who has sealed it with his precious Holy Ghost. And if you know anything about a seal on the declaration of a king, that means that there is nothing that anyone can do about it. So I came to remind you today that once you're saved, Bishop, you're safe. And once you're safe, you are secure. And I know now, Minister Dixon, that there's no collection department in hell that can come and repossess my inheritance. Hallelujah. Every time they try to come and get me, Jesus steps in and says, no, 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 that bill is already paid for. Every time they call me and try to get me to do some things that I used to do, Jesus steps in and says, no, 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 that's paid for. Every time they back up the tow truck to come and get me and reclaim my soul for hell's fire, Jesus steps in and says, that debt is paid in full. Satan, you can't have me because I belong to Jesus. And don't you know that that was God's plan all along from before the foundation of the world? God knew that I would go astray, that he knew that I would have a debt that I could not pay. So he set his redemption plan in motion to bring me back into relationship with him. And that plan was Jesus. And that plan still is Jesus. And until he burns this world up, that plan will always be Jesus. It wasn't the law, but it was Jesus. It wasn't my good works, but it was Jesus. It wasn't what I looked like, but it was Jesus. It wasn't even you, but it was Jesus. It's all because of him, all because of Jesus, that I can now stand here and declare, God, I am yours. Because Jesus was born in the flesh, I am yours. Because Jesus lived a sinless life, I am yours. Because he went around doing his Father's business, I am yours. And don't you know that his Father's business was me? His Father's business was my salvation. His Father's business was my relationship. So because Jesus healed the sick, I can now claim healing for my body. Because Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves and said, peace, be still, I can now claim that there's peace in every storm in my life. Because Jesus raised the dead, I can now claim the resurrection of things in my life that were dead. Though they were dead, yet shall they live. Dead family members, live. Children in the far country, live. Your dead, crazy mind,
live. Marriages that have been broken, oh God, live. God, you gave me the right to claim all of this because I am yours. Woo. But not only those things, because I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop there, but he kept on going all the way to Calvary, where he hung for me, where he bled for me, where he died for me. When he took my place on the cross, he did it so that I could say, God, I am yours. When he suffered the fiery wrath of God's judgment for my sin and for your sin, he didn't do it for himself, but he did it so that I could say, God, I am yours. When the spotless Lamb of God entered into the Holy of Holies, he made one final sacrifice just for me so that I could say, I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. So now, God, I am yours. But you see, Rev, see, I messed up one more time, and I kept on with the story, and I found out that the story doesn't end there. So I'm not just yours now, God, but I'm yours forever. And once again, it's because of Jesus, because early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. So because he lives, I can live. Because he went up, I can go up, and I can be with him forever in paradise. Because where you are, Jesus, that's where I want to be also. Because I belong to you, Jesus, and I am yours.